No pain, no game. 102.4 Wish FM.
Every week, thousands of us don the replica shirts and head out to watch our rugby league idols play the sport we love.
Go, go, Joe! Wow, sir!
But are we really aware of the extent to which these top sportsmen are pushing their bodies to give us our weekly 80-minute fix?
If you look in my knees and my shoulders and my neck, now, I'm not a 31-year-old man, I'm a 50-year-old man.
I just remember losing all feeling from my neck to my toes. Clear as day, I remember thinking that I'm done here, I'm in a wheelchair.
In this Wish FM exclusive, No Pain, No Game, we'll be telling the story of how the stars of modern rugby league deal with serious injuries and months of painful rehab.
Pretty much knew I was getting out for the rest of the year. Probably the scariest thing was knowing if I could play again.
Of how playing the sport at the top level can affect their daily lives and those around them.
You try and be strong for them and help them get through it.
And we'll look at what happens when the body can finally take no more punishment.
It was a shock to me, and I sort of had a plan about what to do.
Part 1. Body on the line.
And the first run back will be Dom Crosby, who runs into a brick wall named Mozzie Mossai.
The statistics show that this season, each of our favourite Super League players will pick up at least one injury. One in four of them will miss a handful of games because of it, while an unlucky few will face months on the sidelines.
As soon as I seen it, I thought my career's finished. Crazy thoughts coming here. I thought I was never going to walk.
In part one of No Pain, No Game, we're going to look at what happens when players pick up season-ending injuries, how clubs ensure their prized assets get the best possible care, and how the injuries don't just affect the players themselves.
You know, you've got a two-year-old and a partner that can't move very far at all, really do anything. I had to help with absolutely everything.
Saints are going to score an interception, and Luke Walsh is going to cap off a dream debut in the Red V.
Australian scrum half Luke Walsh was 26 when he arrived in England in 2014 to continue his career with St Helens.
A man of the match performance from Luke Walsh tonight, absolutely tremendous.
He was one of three major signings the club had made that season and was central to coach Nathan Brown's plans to launch an assault on the Super League title. After a blistering start to his time in the Northwest, the first half of the season was hampered by niggling injuries, but those soon faded into the background after an incident during the home game against Widnes on July the 25th.
The game was going pretty good, we were in a pretty good lead and everyone was playing pretty good. First half we put a few tries on them. Went in the sheds at half time, pretty confident, and then come out the second half and then... I think it was about 10 or 15 minutes into it. That's when the accident happened, so pretty crazy after that.
Hambury looks to break the line, gets it out. Widnes now down the left-hand side and made a break. Outside they go and they're going to score again.
Captured live on TV and in front of thousands of fans in the stadium, Luke had suffered a horrific leg injury. He's about to describe exactly what he went through on the pitch, so if you're a little squeamish, you may want to turn your radio down just for a couple of minutes.
All I remember is... Rhys Hanbury, the fullback for Widnes, made a half break and I went to chase back and just felt this like a pop sort of on my leg and my ankle, and then I looked down and I pretty much knew something was wrong here. I had the bone sticking out of me sock and blood on the end of my sock, so I sort of knew something was wrong and pretty much jumped straight to the ground and waited for the physio to come on and went from there.
There's a Saints player that's going to need a stretcher here, and it looks a serious injury to one of the players. It's Luke Walsh.
Ah, right.
That
yes,
will be a worry.
Nathan Mill, head of medical services at St Helens Rugby League. When I noticed the injury at first, it was obvious that it was his lower leg. When I got to him, it was obvious the severity of the injury. And then afterwards, it was a case of emotions are very high and things tend to sort of get the better of people, so we just had to calm everyone down. Players, staff, everything was put into place to make sure Luke got the best possible care that he could get.
At that moment then, when you thought something was wrong, what was going through your mind then, Luke?
A whole lot of stuff, really, to tell you the truth. But I just, when I first seen it, I thought, something's wrong here. And pretty much that, as soon as I seen it, I thought, my career's finished. Crazy thoughts coming yet. I thought I was never going to walk and all that kind of stuff. And what am I going to do? And how am I going to play with my little fella? And it's just panic, I suppose, but I remember getting carried off, just saying I just want to go home, just want to see my family, things like that.
as Luke Walsh goes off the field, and all Saints supporters rise to their feet in applauding Luke Walsh off, and fingers crossed.
At the time, looking at the injury, we weren't to know the severity. So you always think at the time, unfortunately, it's what's the worst case? And the worst case was that obviously Luke's fractured and possibly dislocated the ankle, or definitely fractured and maybe dislocated the ankle, and it was quite a severe one at the time. So looking at that, how long could that potentially be? Well, it could be career threatening.
My name is Tyler Charlton and my partner is Luke Walsh. I didn't actually see it happen, but I happened to look up and see someone's leg on the other side of the field with Luke's boot on and the ankle basically waving at me like someone. So I'm just like, that's Luke's boot. And so no one's ankle should be doing what it's doing right now. And I just kind of froze a bit, because in a way, like, the game was still going on. And I'm like, they can't be looking around on the rest of the field trying to find, like, nah, I know that's Luke's boot, but someone else can have the same boot, you know. It literally, snapped. After that, just one of the girls said, look, I'll take Jaden if you want to go down and see him. So by the time I got downstairs, John Wilkins was already coming out of the change rooms to come up and get me. So once I come in, like, apparently he was just asking for me and Jaden, and he was only halfway across the field at that stage. So when he got in, you could see, like, the blood coming through the sock. And
What was going through your mind at that time then?
The pain he must be in, like, it's a bit of a horrific kind of injury. So I was just like, his career, just what anyone would think, I guess. Like, it's not just someone, in a way, like a broken arm or something. It was a snappage where the ankle was just hanging there, and it was a bit, you just worried for him, you feel for him, and when he come off the field, he was just concerned about Jaden.
When I got into the medical room, I calmed down a fair bit, and just as I was calming down, Tyler came in the room and, sort of broke down a little bit then. And then I just kept saying to her, I want to see Jaden. And then Jaden came in and I broke down again. And it was pretty emotional then. But, I was just thinking, as a lot of people have probably gone through similar injuries, you think the worst all the time. And I probably thought the worst, thinking my career was over. That was probably the scariest thing. Because I've never really done a major injury before, and I've never broken a bone in my body, so it's pretty scary to hear about, you're putting plates and screws and that in your leg, which I was a bit scared of then, but I ended up getting operated on the next morning, so it's a fair while before I got operated on.
You don't really know at that stage whether it was, like, career ending or not, or, he was a bit like, what happens if I can't play again? How am I going to support you guys? And
How did that make you feel, all those words like, I may never play rugby again, and
I think that was the
may
most,
never support you? How did that make you feel?
That was the most painful part, because I hate the thought that he shouldn't have to worry about that. Either way, we'll be fine. Like, he set us up pretty well at this stage, but even if that wasn't the case, it's he shouldn't have, the thought, that was more painful than him being in pain, if that makes sense, that the mental pain was hurting him more, making him worried and scared.
Luke's story is one that'll be replicated on sporting pitches all over the UK this year. But how are our favourite sportsmen set on the road to recovery so that they can compete again at the top level, despite major trauma? Dr. Chris Brooks is the Director of Medical Services at Wigan Warriors and with England Rugby League.
I would examine the player fully, obviously, and I would examine them with one of the physiotherapists so that both of our separate skills of examination we can bring to that player's assessment, so that the assessment they have is a very full one. If it's somebody's knee, we would probably do an MR scan of the knee to look at the structures of the knee, and that will then form the basis of our plan going forward. There may be other times in which we would use an ultrasound to assess, to see, for instance, whether there's any fluid in the joint or that type of thing, and whether or not there'd be an injury to a muscle or a tendon, and you can determine that with that. So it's bringing all of those things together to make that diagnosis, to then decide whether or not a player, is it something which would be amenable to rehab, or is it something that unfortunately would need an operation, or is it something that will need rest and rehab to move it forward.
Matt Bitkin, Director of Performance for Wigan Warriors. Early stages with any long-term injury is run by the doctors, physicians, the medics. So they'll kick in and initially do all their assessments. If there's any surgical intervention required, then we'll select the best surgeon, again, with Chris being our Chief Medical Officer. We have access to the best surgeons up and down the country. He will liaise with Joanne Seddon, who's our head physiotherapist. They'll decide which surgeon they're going to go with, and then if it requires surgery to play, we'll have surgery, and then after that it'll be a very progressive plan put in place by Chris and by Joanne, and they'll work through certain progressions depending on the type of injury, and then they'll get to a point where I'll sit down with them, and then we'll bring in some strength and conditioning or some very low level rehab strengthening type work. There'll be a sort of period where we're working very heavily together on the field but also off the field in the gym, and then it'll be a case of they'll hand them back over full time to the strength and conditioning staff. We will then finish that last 20% off in terms of the strength, endurance, the different physical parameters that are required to get back on the pitch and play first team rugby.
Sometimes it's a recurring injury which leads to a lengthy spell on the sidelines, and even though players have time to prepare for the inevitable surgery and rehab, it doesn't make things any easier.
Paul Sculthorpe, former St Helens of Great Britain.
Towards the end of a career he had to cut short through injury, Paul Sculthorpe had a number of setbacks, including major knee surgery, which he's about to describe in graphic detail.
Over the years, you know, when people say that I'm having a clean out at the end of the year, where it means taking a bit of torn cartilage away, forgetting that cartilage is your shock absorber in your knee. That's the one that stops the bones coming together, and I had none of that left. So I had a microfracture where they'd literally drill holes in your bone, let it bleed, and that blood sets and congeals, and that's the protection then in between the joints. But it was horrendous. Even though I was playing, I couldn't play to the potential, and that was like the back end of 2006. And I just couldn't get that push that I'd always been used to. The worst bit after an injury is like the first few weeks where you can't do anything. I had to be non-weight-bearing for 12 weeks. I literally couldn't put my foot down. I couldn't even get up off the couch and walk to the toilet. You had to go on the crutches and couldn't touch my foot on the floor for 12 weeks so you don't mess that blood up in the knee. So it was awful, but that's the more frustrating thing, because when you're used to being so active and again, training. I miss training. That was a frustrating thing.
What about at home?
Yeah, well, again, you know, I couldn't pick the kids up because I had to hold on to one crutch at least and things like that. You're pretty much sat with your feet up and, you know, you feel sorry for Lindsay, and because I couldn't help her do much. You know, that's the frustrating side of it, is what people don't see is like, oh, I know you're not playing and what have you, but it's your day-to-day life as well. I couldn't drive, I couldn't, you know, if I wanted to go somewhere, I'm relying on other people. It was horrendous.
Hi, yeah, I'm Lindsay Sculthorpe. I remember when he did his microfracture, I think he wanted to go training one morning, and I couldn't take him for some reason, and I nipped out and I come back and there was nowhere to be found in the house, and he'd actually got a taxi because he was that frustrated. He'd got a taxi to training and he was just that angry, I think, because he couldn't do it, you know, and drive himself there, and it was tough having to rely on other people.
You're listening to No Pain, No Game, Body on the Line. This is part one of a series of programmes on Wish FM looking at the physical side of playing top flight rugby league. So far, we've spent time looking at the physical side of suffering season-ending injuries, but consistently players tell us that the mental side of picking up a major injury can be worse than the physical pain, particularly when injuries are picked up early in your career.
Tommy Makinson, St Helens, RLFC. I had my ACL in October 2010, and it was against Salford when I was in the academy, and it was 2 weeks before I signed my professional contract, so it was a pretty devastating time. But physically, you know, everything's going to be okay because, you know, it's St Helens, it's a great club, and we've got the best medical staff around. But, you know, it's that mental side where, you know, it really takes its toll. I remember, you know, getting the news off the doctor that I'd done it, and he said, you know, they sit you down and, you know, they really hard on you, and you say, listen, this could be a career ender here. And like I said, you know, mentally you're just everywhere, and you know, that's where the physios, you know, earn the stick really. They're good with the injury, but you know, they get you through it as well, and you know, it's a really tough place.
At 24, St Helens fullback Johnny Lomax has already had two anterior cruciate ligament reconstructions in his knees. And at the start of 2015, he's suffering again. We spent time with him at the beginning of this season as he began the long haul back to full fitness with Nathan Mill. And he starts here with a very brief description of what his surgery entailed.
They'll go in, cut out some of your patella tendon with a bit of bone from each end, and then just screw it in place, basically, and that's it. So then from then on, it's a long road of rehab.
Side down the bed a little bit, so you come back, yeah, so your chest is out there.
Nathan, just talk us through what you're doing, what's going on here?
Yeah, currently just preparing Johnny to do a running session, so releasing through his left side is where he's had his problem, and just releasing through both sides, really, his glutes and into the back of his knee, just to make sure he's ready to run, ready to go.
So to release that, what are you doing?
Trigger point work, soft tissue work, and general joint mobilisation.
So as I swing around to Johnny, he's got his head dangling over the edge of the physio table here. What's that feel like?
It's a little bit sore at first, but it usually eases off the pain. You get a little bit of pain at first. He's trying to dig a bit harder now, try and make me squeal, but he's not strong enough.
So how often are you going? Do you have to do this before every single session that you do? Are you going through this?
Pretty much with my left knee, I do at the minute because of the rehab. He's just doing a little bit extra today because he's got a bit more time, I think. But yeah, the knee has to have a bit of a mob before every session at the minute, just to free it up and release it.
How do you just accept this as part of your job?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, everyone needs a little bit of maintenance after the sessions, especially after you've had an injury. It's quite. You don't always wake up feeling great, and sometimes need a little bit of help to, you know, get the body moving. Just frustrating more than anything, you know. The actual pain, it isn't too bad. That's the easy bit. The mental side's the harder bit. You know, it's lonely being in rehab on your own. Most of the lads are on the field, and you know that's what you want to do. You want to be on the field, and even training with the lads, you know, you miss that. You're in the gym on your own, and as much as you know. The physios are really good. If you don't do the work yourself, you're not going to get any better. So it's just, like I say, it's a lonely place to be, but you've just got to crack on with it and keep your head up.
Even for some of the most experienced players in the game, like Wigan captain Sean O'Loughlin, time spent on the sidelines with a serious injury can be difficult to handle.
They are the hard ones, if you get them at the bad time as well, you miss pretty much all the season, and you're looking at maybe 10 or 12 months before you're playing again. So it's they're a long time away from not playing, and a lot of the time it's quite a lonely place when the lads are out on the field and you're in there on your own doing the gym work. I think luckily for me, not so luckily for the lads around me, but there was a couple of us at the same time with similar injuries, so we had kind of a good group of players who were out for a lengthy time who could train together and that kind of thing. But when you're on your own, it makes it a lot more difficult.
Ian Thorne from Wigan Warriors. It's difficult just because it's tedious, because it's a lot of reps. You're doing the same exercises every day for probably a couple of weeks, and then they change it to make it a little bit harder and increase the weight. So it's mainly you just got to get through it, and it's probably just the boring side of it. It's, you know, it's repetitive, but it's one of those things. If you don't do it, you're going to have, you know, reoccurrence of it, or you're going to have problems with it. So you just got to make sure you have to do it, pretty much. If you want to play rugby, when you've had big injuries, you have to do the rehab. So it's just one of those things.
Well, the players are the ones who have to deal with the physical and mental side of rehabilitation after a serious injury. The coaches have a responsibility as well to look after their prized assets.
Every player reacts a different way.
Sean Wayne, head coach at Wigan Warriors.
Some players are very, very down when they're working on their own, but we have a good rehab and prehab system here with our really good medical people. Our physios are the best in the country, so you know, I'm very happy with the people who've got in place, but they get to know the players and what sort of characters they are and how they detect the long-term injuries. So we have a player welfare manager, and we have a lot of feedback and good communication lines going throughout the building, and make sure that nobody slips through the net and everybody gets what they need.
And key to those communication lines are the likes of Wigan's Director of Performance, Mark Bitcomb.
Sometimes it's my job to manage expectations, really. The medics have done a great job here over the last 5 years in getting players back at the right time, and you know, probably the last couple of years, and that's been so evident with people like Sean O'Loughlin, who's had struggled with certain injuries, different types of injuries, but Becky, our previous head physio, has always managed to get him back for the big games, and and because of the work he does in the background with the strength and conditioning team as well, he's always fit when he comes back, and that can be a real challenge if it's a lower limb injury or an upper body injury, is keeping the players fit. So you're using things like altitude training, watt bikes that we have in the gym, we have an Alter G and anti-gravity treadmill, so there's different methods of keeping guys fit, but you have to push them really hard. And we do have sort of a philosophy at Wigan, which is the injured players should train harder than the players who are fit and training on the field. So they will be in the first, and they'll be home at sort of 5 o'clock, and pushed, you know, to the limit. And that enables them to come back when we do start running, or we can start doing some of the progressions on the field. Endurance-wise, they're exactly where they need to be.
How much of a responsibility do you feel towards the players and kind of their careers and their life after rugby, I suppose?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I feel a lot of responsibility to the chairman, to Chris Radlinski, and to Sean, but a lot to the players, because I'm helping them, you know, achieve hopefully their dreams on the field, and you know why the medics and the S&C guys are in the background. We're every day having a lot of contact time with them. You know, they see us first thing in the morning, last thing at night, and you know we're trying to do the best for them. So you know we're working for every single individual in that 34, whether it's Sean O'Loughlin, the England captain, or whether it's Oliver Gildart, has only just started on his journey.
Away from the club, as fans, it's easy to forget that each player recovering from a serious injury still has to go about their daily life. Luke Walsh's partner, Tyler, told us what it's been like at home during his rehabilitation.
A little bit hard. Like, we're pretty lucky at first. The club was awesome. They were willing to fly Luke's mum over here. So she was here for 4 weeks. Very helpful because, you know, you got a two-year-old and a partner that can't move very far at all, really do anything. I had to help with absolutely everything. So that was really hard. But once she came, that just took a weight off my shoulders. She just looked after my son. I could just look after Luke. We could enjoy ourselves a bit. It was just nice to have a bit of a pick-me-up after such a bit of a scary time, to have Luke's mum here and be excited to see her and show around and her to, like, you know, spend time with the grandson. That was awesome.
What can you do when, like, you know, your loved one's sort of going through this, really?
Just remind them that, you know, I know he loves the sport. It's not the end of the world, but at this stage, he will get back to it. It's a matter of him putting the effort in and being patient. He is healthy. There's other people in worse situations. So, you know, as long as he, you know, gets his confidence back to play at the level he was playing, everything will be fine.
So how does a player get himself psychologically ready for a return to playing in Super League? Wigan's Ian Thornley has had 12 months of injury hell.
It's been a difficult 12 months, I'd say, like coming up from being a youngster and like my early years of being a professional. I've not really had any injuries, just had bumps and bruises. And in the past 12 months, I suffered a torn pectoral in the Good Friday game at St Helens. And then as I came back from that, 3 weeks later, I torn my ACL, so I'm not the best of luck, but fingers crossed they're all behind me. It's going to be difficult, obviously, with me. Obviously, I've been out. It'll end up being 7 months, 6 months when I come back from the ACL op. So I'm going to be a bit nervous at first, obviously, getting back out there and testing it. But with all the work that we do with the physios, hopefully that'll be all out my system when I'm on the training field. So when it does come to coming back into it full-blown, I'll be fine because I've done it enough in training.
Saints' Tommy Makinson made the comeback from a knee reconstruction early in his career.
What's it like, that first game back after you've had a major injury?
Probably the biggest game of your life, you know, physically, you know, I keep saying mentally, but it is, you know, knowing, you know, stepping your foot on that pitch and knowing that you can do it, you know, with, you know, a massive injury, you know, it's everything. And, you know, I know for a fact when I stepped on the pitch, it was, you know, it's not a nice feeling either. It's really painful, and every tackle, every run hurts, but game by game, month by month, you get through it, and in the end, you come out the other side, and it just feels like normal. But, you know, I can tell you it still hurts now, and, you know, it will do for another 7-8 years as long as the career goes on.
For your major injuries, knees and shoulders, that kind of stuff, I think a big part of getting back to playing again, form back, is confidence. I think when you've been out for 6 months from not playing the game, and you've only been out on the field, I think once you get back into that contact side of it, there is a lot of building up confidence back into putting your body into more awkward positions again. like I say, elbows, knees, shoulders, that kind of thing. It's there's always that bit of wariness going into full contact.
Yeah, it's always in the back of my mind, thinking that first tackle, or that first run I have, or that, you know, first time I kick the ball, things like that. I'd be lying if I didn't say it was. That runs through my head nearly every day. You know, it's going to be hard at first. Once I get over it, I think I'll be sweet.
So has Luke Walsh learnt anything from the experience he's endured over the last few months while recovering from a potentially life-changing injury sustained while playing the sport he loves?
I learned don't take the game for granted. I know that, because you know, it could be taken away just like that. But just appreciate how good you got it, and you know, being at training with your mates nearly every day, and being able to run around and kick a football and things like that. That's probably the biggest thing, yeah.
At Magic Weekend at the end of May, we'll bring you part two of No Pain, No Gain, when we'll look at how rugby league players and clubs manage injuries on a match-by-match basis.
The levels of contact, the levels of forces that are involved, you know, these are the sort of things that would happen probably if somebody was strapped into a car and the car was running to from behind.
You know, once the season's kicked off, I don't think there's any player will go into a game 100%.
Players vary in what pain thresholds they have. You know, some players can play with a broken jaw, some can't, and some players can break their ankle and carry on playing, and some can't.
And we'll consider the stuff that us fans never get to see.
Saturday's hard work. Getting out of bed, downstairs, you know, getting in and out of the car. You know, I think carrying things is, you know, it depends what you've done.
You know, for a good shopping, if you stand in a queue, I'd be dancing around on the spot because of, like, sciatic pain down my left leg.
You just have to sort of learn to live with it.
No pain, no game. 102.4 Wish FM.